Happy birthday, Tim Tebow. He turns all of 26 today. I don't know about you, Billy, but I remember when I was 26.
Yeah, I actually do. It was last year.
It was a few more years.
It wasn't too far there ago. Yeah.
Would have been a lot funnier, I think, if Bryce had been here. Cause,
and Bryce, Bryce still has, like, three more years to get there.
Yeah, Bryce would have been like, I didn't remember that one. But as we do bring up Timmy Tebow, obviously we do want to say happy birthday to him. He had a little scare today as the first-string quarterback on that team, a guy by the name of Tom Brady, kind of tweaked his knee during a practice against that guy in Michigan that didn't get a fair shake.
Oh, okay. I got you. No, and Tom, you know, everything, he walked off on his own, under his own power, so he was fine. The MRI was negative, so we're, you know, it's looking good. He's going to get a second opinion, but it's looking like he's going to practice on Thursday regardless.
And
you know, it's just a minor scare in preseason, so just don't worry about it right now.
Yeah, Patriot fans can breathe, and I mean, you're still probably going to win your division unless the Miami Dolphins just find a handful of wins, but we'll get more on them later. But I mean, as much
as that, Buffalo's not going to win?
Probably not. And I mean, you know, you guys can answer all the hate mail that Megan's going to send your way if you want to hear my Bills review, but that'll be completely different. But as much as I hate to kind of throw this out there, could this not be some sort of ploy by the Patriots or Belichick Brady to kind of just shake things up, kind of get somebody thinking in a different direction? Because I know it scared the Bucks. They had three or four statements on their website about it that, you know, don't blame them. It was just a freak accident. The players involved with it were kind of freaked out a little bit, didn't want to be a part of, you know, possibly ending his season.
Well, I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's a ploy. I just think it's just one of those things that happens during, you know, preseason. I mean, look at all the injuries that have happened around preseason this season. You know, it's just one of those things that happens. I don't think it's a ploy by Belichick / Brady. So.
Yeah, but, you know, listen.
But their roster. Go ahead.
I was probably going to say the same thing you are. Go ahead.
Well, their roster is actually kind of interesting this year. Their defense has gotten a little bit better. I really think that their linebacking core has gotten tremendously better from past years. If their defense can actually step up this year, play a lot better than they did last year, they may actually make a late play in the playoffs this season. Because, I mean, Brady is Brady, and just like Manning, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. But you can throw me and you out there, and he'd still be able to throw touchdowns somehow. So I really think that this, I mean, it's basically, if you look at the wide receiver core that they have on their roster right now, outside of Amendola, Edelman, and Jenkins, who really has that many touches as far as catches on the wide receiver core? Not many. Michael Jenkins out of Ohio State is actually listed as number one, alongside of Amendola, and Edelman's the number three right now. So that's actually how it's sitting right now, which I think throwing Michael Jenkins, who is a tall receiver, he's 6'4", 214. He's a real tall receiver. He's played in the NFL a while. He played, you know, caught Matt Ryan's first touchdown. He's a good go up and get wide receiver. He just has some problems catching the ball in clutch situations.
Yeah,
which is why I think Brady will probably go to Amendola this year.
Yeah, I think he's going to turn into kind of his favorite target because kind of transitioning to what I was going to go into is, obviously, given we do have to mention it, especially being media people and fans of football, you know, with the Aaron Hernandez legal matters and you know, him being charged with murder in those cases and stuff, Gronkowski being back to, kind of banged up a little bit at tight end. As much as they like to do the double tight end, I think if Gronk comes back, you can't sleep on Jake Ballard. Jake Ballard did some great things in New York for the Giants, and he's not Aaron Hernandez, but you can still run a double tight end set off of them because he's still a very efficient weapon.
And he's actually listed a lot further down the depth chart than you believe. He's actually, I think, the fourth string tight end according to the Patriots depth chart on their website, which is actually kind of interesting. I agree with you. I think, I mean, you know, being an Ohio State fan, I watched Ballard for many years catch passes. So I really think that he's an outstanding player. I know what he can do along the sidelines. I know what he can do over the middle. I mean, he's a good play catcher or pass catcher. He just has a problem blocking, which may be why he's down in the fourth and, you know, down the depth chart.
Well, and it could
but
be.
I agree with you. That question mark is tight end right now. With Gronk maybe coming back, you know, Hernandez isn't coming back. So with Gronk maybe coming back, who are you going to look for if, you know, I think Fells is actually listed as number two on their depth chart. I mean, outside of him, who are you really looking for as far as tight ends?
Well, but they also, as much as they went to the tight ends in Wes Welker last year, they also kind of, I won't say tipped their hand, but they also showed that they're an offense in transition as they had, you know, the breakout of Stephen Ridley. At this point, could they kind of, you know, start shying away from throwing the ball so much and start running a lot of misdirections and stuff with Ridley? Because this kid can actually run.
It's not only Ridley, too. You have to remember LeGarrette Blount, who you know very well out of Tampa Bay, Buck Country. He's back in there.
Shane Vereen is still around. I mean, they've got a handful of running backs.
Shane Vereen had a fantastic game, yeah.
I mean, they could almost, you know, they showed everybody years ago that you could do a double tight end set all the time and be that explosive on offense. Could they, you know, almost pull a Green Bay or even like an old college thing and have three running backs and some crazy formations running out?
I'm sure they could with their offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. I mean, it's anything could happen, especially with Tim Tebow, who he drafted in Denver originally. And then when he lost his job in Denver, he stayed, you know, moved over, you know, he moved back to the Patriots where he was originally and then, you know, brings Tebow in this year. I really think that's why Tim Tebow is actually on the roster this year. I think Josh McDaniels got into Belichick's ear and said, look, he may not be your prototypical quarterback, but we can make plays with this kid. So let's bring him in, and I really think that's why he's brought in this year.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's the sappy feel good story, but it does kind of make you feel good because as much bad things as Tebow catches, as much negative press and stuff, he's actually a good kid. He's got a lot of talent. He's got some tweaks he got to work on, but I mean, don't we all? When it really comes down to it, but with him going back to a team that McDaniels has a lot of pull with, it's kind of, you know, like I said, I don't want to say feel-good story, but it's the he can kind of continue the project and maybe finish the project of molding Tebow into a good standout.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, to be honest with you, because, no offense
well,
to Tebow, but
five,
I've,
but, you know,
I've been on record. Well, yeah, no, but I've been on record since day one that I don't think that Tim Tebow is an NFL quarterback. I really don't see him progressing into an NFL quarterback. He is like a lot of quarterbacks that come out of college that are on fire. Troy Smith, who won the Heisman right before he went into the draft. Tim Tebow won two national championships, the Heisman, came into the draft really hyped up. Everyone thought he was going to go second or third round. He goes first round. He was hyped up too much. I really don't think he's a prototypical NFL quarterback. Now, a lot has changed in the NFL the past couple of years with Kaepernick coming in, with Russell Wilson coming in, and RG3. Those players are going to more of a spread offense, which is what Tim Tebow is. But he's got to find a team that has more of a spread offense kind of feel to it. Brady and Belichick run that Big Ten kind of, we have big monsters up front. We're going to run it down your throat and pass from the shotgun formation a lot more than you think, which is not Tim Tebow's biggest thing because he can't pass the ball. That's his biggest problem right now.
Well, and, you know, we were talking before the show, before we were recording, that he didn't have the best numbers the other night and in his kind of preseason debut for him. But what I noticed from just what little bit I saw of it was when he would go to complete a pass, it wasn't that he was a deer in headlights, you know, like the Falcons backup was. He was very calm and collected. It seemed like he was squeezing the ball and it was making it dip down in front of the receivers as opposed to going straight at them. But it seemed like he came in a little earlier than he expected, but it's the NFL. Nothing personal, Tim, but you gotta be ready to play at any time.
Well, let's talk about the schedule coming up for the Patriots and your prediction. What you got this year for them?
I think as we were saying, I mean, there's really between 4 and 5 teams on their schedule that could actually, you know, has the potential to beat them. Anybody can, but there's probably 4 or 5 that could be considered losses. I mean, we both agree week 4 Atlanta, because that's in the dome. And it's early in the season. Sometimes the Patriots are a little slow out of the blocks. Atlanta could make it a really, really good game there. Obviously, they play Denver. That's at home, so that could be a shootout. The defending champions on the next to last week, that could be a big one. And we disagreed on the fourth game. I thought it might be the Saints could sneak up on them, and you were saying Houston, right?
Well, yeah, Houston, and actually I forgot about this other team. The team that they have to face right after Atlanta in week 5, Cincinnati Bengals. Now, don't get me wrong, we've already done the Cincinnati Bengals thing. They looked really impressive top to bottom from first string all the way down to third string against the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason. I was actually at the game, so I was actually able to watch and pay attention. They were really impressive top to bottom. If they can actually get that kid out of Ohio State's Enzenbacher into their offense, I think they'll be all right. But I really think the Cincinnati might actually come up. Believe it or not, Pete Prisco, who we tweeted this out from the show page earlier today. Pete Prisco from CBS Sportsnet tweeted out or wrote his predictions for the season, top to bottom, every single game, what it was going to be, what the records were going to be. He actually has Atlanta and Cincinnati in the Super Bowl this season. So a lot of high hopes from Pete Prisco, who is a big NFL guy that I actually really respect the hell out of. And, you know, he's got Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. So, you know, look at week 5, too, as a possible loss, too, for Patriots.
I mean, it's very possible. Cincinnati's been that team, the kind of emerging, you know, background team. They've made the playoffs a lot. Can they finally get that first win? I think they have it was a just ridiculous streak of not winning a playoff game in forever. But, yeah, they're definitely – it all comes on Dalton's shoulders. If he starts off pretty strong, week 5 could be really interesting. But I think overall we're looking this is a Patriot team that's on a bad day, 10 or 11 wins, probably looking 12 and 4 – possibly 13-3 before the end of the day. They're going to be at least second round of the playoffs, possibly, you know, in the AFC title game.
Low point, I'm looking at 11-5. High point, 13-3. Like I said, those games that we mentioned, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Denver, Houston, and Baltimore are really the teams that I'm looking at that I really think could sneak up and bite them. Possibly Miami, too. Miami's played them tough the past couple of years. Don't throw that past them. But I really think New England's got their stuff together this year, hopefully, for the Patriots fans out there.
You know,
but I'm going 11-5, low point, 13-3 high.
That's something I was going to mention, too, is that, you know, sometimes the sleeper teams in the division, especially in their division, somebody like the Jets would sneak up and be real competitive and beat them by a field goal or I don't see it out of Bills this year, but you never know. One of those, the Jets or the Bills, could kind of sneak up and steal a win from Brady and Belichick and kind of shock everybody. But, yeah, I think for the most part we're on par with that. These guys are headed to possibly an AFC title game, if not, you know, eliminated right before. And it's going to be the same old, as long as you get Brady and Belichick on that team.
Yeah. I agree. And that's it, guys, for our New England preview for the 2013 NFL season. Check back tomorrow. We're probably either going to do Miami or Buffalo. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. For Jeremy, Daniel, and Bryce, who aren't here, I'm Billy. Thanks for listening, guys.